This is a extra.
I'm Gary, by the way, if we never mentioned that.
Gary's one of our guests.
Yes, our special guest, Gary. Now our special guest, Maggie.
I think I'm the only one that gets excited about Sundays at the Mag Barn. But I do want to weigh in on weapons and or...
Okay.
Whoa.
I was just trying to save the recorder.
We just drowned the recording studio.
Do that.
It was empty.
They can make their own drinks.
Harold's them.
I'm saying crossbow.
Crossbow?
Yes. Silent, but deadly. Easy to manage, especially if you're a little girl like me.
Yeah.
Shark suit.
Shark suit's good.
Yeah.
Bite-proof.
Yes, bite-proof. And also they make them out of high-grade polymers now. So
yeah, lightweight.
Pretty lightweight.
Flexible.
You can wear it.
Yeah.
But what if you're in New Mexico?
What's that?
What if you're like in Arizona or New Mexico?
Well, we don't live in Arizona now, do we, Ted?
Well, you know.
No, I see. That's, bite-proof.
Summers get pretty hot around here.
Well, that's okay. You can sweat.
Okay.
You'll be all svelte. For who, I don't know.
Fucking,
but, you'll be
I'd be zombie-proof and fucking tight.
Exactly. Shell and spade. I don't know where you would actually get one of those, but it is also a farming tool.
I know some mail-order places to get it. That's a pretty wicked weapon.
Yeah, I like the reach, first of all. And also
weight on one end, massive weight on the other.
Exactly. Yeah, it can double as a farming tool, which is good.
Yeah.
Shotgun, obviously. Stopping power, in case you're ever cornered. That's probably a good thing.
Sorry.
And a motorcycle. I'm with Jimmy on the motorcycle.
Motorcycles and old cars are always good.
Right. Well, they're solid.
James and I saw a great mid-70s Ranchero today that was...
Ranchero, yeah.
Well,
yeah, it was chocolate brown and burnt orange.
That's a good...
But
ooh, that's
I thought what a great car to face the apocalypse.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you know... Dave brings up a good point. You got to carry all this stuff around, too.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's why shotgun. I mean, shotgun shells don't actually weigh all that much. You probably load yourself up pretty fast, and that's like your last resort weapon.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be blasting a lot. I foresee myself blasting.
Well, if you get cornered. Well, but yeah. You can blow through them, quite honestly.
Yeah, if you're moving fast enough, they couldn't get you. Yeah, provided you don't wreck and fall off.
Right.
Yeah.
But motorcycles are pretty, you can move on them. You can definitely move around things.
You could roll through a crowd of shamblers and
just
rev it up and keep rocking.
Yeah, I think so.
But where would you go? Would you go to the mall?
You know, I'm with Cobble on this one. I think that probably.
Now, if you go to a prison, and we'll get Cobble on here in a minute.
Yeah,
but
we will.
If you go to a prison, you got a bunch of convicts.
Already contained, and all you have to do is go through the entire fucking prison and shoot them all in the head. And or take your shell and spade, stick it through the bars, and
they are actually
behead
living
them.
People.
Right. So you've got convicts and corrections officers. Who really cares?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And they're already contained, so all you have to do is take out pretty much the corrections officers.
They're going to you once you start shooting them.
Well, corrections officers?
Yes.
Maybe, maybe not.
They're going to try to shoot you.
You think zombie corrections officers?
No, I'm thinking real corrections officers who are already in the prison, are already, zombies, are already going to have the weapons and probably have that based out before you
even
get there.
Well, yeah, but you gotta figure that if there is actually like a full-scale infection, that the corrections officers are going to be zombies anyway.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, that would just assume that you should already be a zombie by that point also.
The prison would be pretty contained, so if it's something like a virus, the prison would be pretty contained. You wouldn't have infection inside.
Right, so maybe what?
Wait a minute.
You'd have to take out 20 corrections officers?
The food.
Yeah, that can't take more than 10 minutes.
I mean, there's no Chick-fil-A. There's no...
I've been down there. It would take more than 20 minutes himself.
But you've got your shell and spade so you can plant corn.
There's no Sparrows in a
prison.
I could
take a number two pencil in there.
Well, they got the cafeteria. They got the food.
Well, the food sucks.
Well, yeah.
The food sucks. But
I mean, you're
going to
get tired of grits.
Right. Yeah. But you do have certain things at a prison that are pretty good. Now...
You've got lots of orange
jumpsuits. Best case scenario... Well, I mean...
Well, you got...
tactical weapons.
Well,
but see,
okay.
there again, you got to get it from the corrections officers.
SWAT gear.
Tactical black.
You know, they do try to keep people out.
SWAT
also,
uniforms,
they don't just try to keep people in.
Best case scenario, honestly, if Matt Loomis still lived in a two-story dwelling, would be to go to Matt Loomis's house, and you're going to have to bleep that out too. But
yeah, but
Matt's house, yeah. For zombie invasion, I'm down.
If you know somebody with the goods, yeah, that's
actually Donald Tattoo Asgard Inc. He's got like his own compound. I've heard.
Yeah, Purvis is good too.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna go make drinks. Bye.
Okay.
Thanks,
Maggie.
I think it depends on what kind of zombies they are or where you should go. I mean, if it's like a 28 days later thing where you know that they're probably going to die off after a certain amount of time, I think being held up in some place with plenty of food and water would probably be the best way. But
yeah, if
they're going to live forever, you need to get kind of away from where people are.
Yeah, you should certainly. You could potentially hop from Walmart to Walmart.
Yeah, the kind of people that would be at a rural Walmart might have, like, their own designs, like I'm saying.
So you're saying that white trash is worse than zombies?
They're going to be like, hey, man.
So you're saying I'd rather stay here and fight zombies than go to Walmart and deal with white trash.
That's right. You go to the white trash
Look at
Walmart.
Them beanbag chairs.
Man, I've always wanted one of those.
They got them beanbag chairs.
Yeah, you're going to be in a different situation.
Yeah,
plus, I mean,
the whole thing.
Internet.
Yeah, I think I'd rather just stay here and fight zombies.
The government's going to come and take care of all these zombies. You're going to just hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to get taken care of.
Yeah.
But, oh, shit.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just would prefer to be around people I could trust. You know, people that I knew, people that I was able to rely upon. People
sure.
that I'm sitting here with right now because, you know.
I mean, if you're trusting your life to people, you want to know the people. I mean, you want a good team. If you're putting together a team, you don't want somebody that you don't
know.
You don't know at all. You have no idea what this guy's going
to
do.
You might have to pull a code red on him.
I don't have to frag some fucker in the middle of the night for being a spaz.
That's right. I thought he was a zombie. I shot him in the head. I'm sorry.
I waited until he went to sleep, and I fragged him.
So going along those lines, would you pick people up along the way? Like, if you're coming across other survivors, like... What do you take into consideration before you add people to your group?
Okay.
I'm a pretty good judge of character. By that, I mean that, like, I don't pick up stragglers off the road.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do, though? When you come across a group of survivors, like, I mean, you don't want to be that guy that just tosses them. But, like,
I think I would be a humanist about it and be like, you know, yeah, they're people and they deserve to live. And I'll help them in any way I can. But if that means, like, going out and, like, getting shot myself by some asshole that doesn't know how to use a gun some guy that's, like,
there's you got to weigh the pros and cons things. I mean, if you're all by yourself and you've been wandering around for days or weeks or whatever all by yourself, then sort of, you know, hooking up with anybody is good. I mean,
being
by yourself, that's a good way to just die in your fucking sleep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you've got a small group and you're reasonably self-sufficient and you're functioning well, then, like, hooking up with a bunch of people that don't know what the hell they're doing and are lucky to still be alive,
sure,
that can greatly compromise everything.
Help them how you can, but like, I'm sure it's not, sure as hell not going to, like, drag myself down by adding you to my group, you know?
Because
if it's me or you, fuck you, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you really do got to watch out for number one. Now, you don't want to turn into, like, you know, a situation like this is going to make you do ugly things. You're going to have to shoot people you know. Eventually, somebody's going to wind up getting hurt, and that's
going to make the Wild West look pretty. Like, it's going to
become
be really
a zombie,
bad.
And you're going to have to shoot your friends. And I mean, that's got to take something out of you to pull a bullet.
That's going
to
be a
in the head of somebody that you know 5 minutes ago was somebody that was on your side and that you trust.
Yes.
And so
it's like euthanizing a loved one.
Eventually, you're going to become a pretty hard guy, and that means that you may be able to, you know, to survive better, but you might not be so easy to get along with, which is the way of people that are that hard.
Well, like,
I'm like that now, pretty much.
Yeah, Derek is that hard now.
Well, you all talked about all the zombie movies, but like, I'm a nerded up. There's a comic called Walking Dead that deals with
like, they don't even go into why it happened, like what caused it. It's all about what happens afterward, how you go on, like, how you survive.
Sure.
It's actually written by a guy from Lexington, Kentucky, and it's kind of like the 28 Days Later scenario where the guy wakes up in the hospital and shit happened, and he has no idea why, but he travels to Atlanta to meet up with his family. Or, well, he traveled to Atlanta because he found out that's where, like, that kind of the populace of the South was, like the survivors, and he ends up running into his family. Yeah. How convenient, you know. No, actually, they're alive, but, like, it's this ragtag group of people that...
A ragtag fugitive fleet?
Nice.
Sorry, I had a moment. Continue, please.
So they all get together, but that's where I first heard the prison idea, is they're traveling with this group of people, and it's like... And I thought it was great because they're not just all these nice people. They're fucking assholes, you know. They're
sure,
people that you don't want to, like... It was very real because they're people that you wouldn't want to be... like, at a bar with, let alone trying to survive the zombie apocalypse.
Well,
with,
that's
you know?
The thing. I mean, if you don't have a system of government set up, then the larger the group of people, the less manageable it's going to be. Because you can barely get, like, three people can get a decision made about something. Five people can barely do anything on their own. And the more people you get, the more dissension you're going to get in the group. And they're just going to have, like,
well,
this,
I mean, yeah,
like, what
something,
do we do,
something
especially
to consider.
If it's life or death?
You have to consider the fact that a lot of the people that are sort of predisposed to survive harsh conditions are not, like, nice and pleasant people.
No.
So, I mean, a lot of the people that are the kind of take charge, proactive, like, fuck all this shit, I'm taking care of me and I'm kicking the shit out of whatever gets in my way.
So you're going to have to, like, basically create a dictatorship or
I mean, you stand a good chance of encountering
an absolute democracy.
You have
right
way too
off
many chiefs all at once. Like, way too many guys that are all wanting to, like, this is my vote.
Like,
you know?
Vote on everything or you start, like, shooting people in the head that don't agree with you.
And use the people that are going to be complacent and going to fall in line are the people that are going to be going down easy. They're going to be, like, the weight. Like weighing you down, the people that aren't willing to make a decision, the people that are going to like,
yeah, if there's some asshole with a lot of bad ideas, you're either going to have to shoot him, or you're going to have to subdue him in some way by just basically, shoot him in the head. I mean, I don't think of any other way.
That whole prison
he was staggering towards me. I don't know what was going on. Yeah. You know,
well, that whole prison idea came from The Walking Dead, like because they come across a maximum security prison and they come in and there were like a small group of survivors, and I thought it was really cool because, like, a prison is basically, it's like a honeycomb of, like, little self-contained units of, like, where you're in control. Like, if you come in, like, depending on the contagion, like, how, like, it happened, like, maybe no one in the prison was infected, but maybe everyone was. But if they were, the way I see it, like, the guards are going home. Fuck that. They're not staying with these guys that they hate. They're going the fuck home.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going
to... Well, they want to be with their families and with their loved ones.
Exactly.
Everybody would.
Exactly.
I mean,
so you're
going to
walk in,
person,
basically...
You've got serious consideration.
Yeah. So you're basically walking into, like, just a big, you know, prison full of just the quote-unquote bad guys, you know?
Yep.
And whether they're... I mean, I'm not saying I would... If I walked in and they were all zombified, hey, easy. Cap, 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 you know, cell to cell, head off, head off, head off. Easy. And if they were all, you know, alive, you know, if it came down to it, if it was me or you, fuck these guys. I would walk them out one by one, gunpoint, get the fuck out of my prison. It's mine now. Because it's like they have all the food you can imagine. They have and these places have so many generators and backup power because of, like, prison riot stuff. They have all the backup power you can imagine because, you know, you're running water and electricity is going to be gone. But they have all the backup power. They have the SWAT gear. They have all the weapons
fucking
you can
kick-ass
possibly
gym.
Have. Yes.
You got the weight.
And laundry, because no one wants to be dirty during a zombie apocalypse.
And cable TV.
Yeah, I can watch cable TV and work out all day.
And
kill zombies all night.
And I mean, everything is, like, you also have, like, most prisons are not, like, right in the middle of the city. They're kind of like Luzaluket is, like, towards the Grange area.
Yeah,
so it's kind of secluded.
Reasonably isolated.
Dave, chime in on this. Dave is our good friend here on the mic.
Plus,
freestyle for us,
you
man. Derek was
so
going to do, but he chickened out.
If they ever try to, like, if the zombies ever try to, you know, like you were saying earlier, they're like, they're not like, it's not like they're higher thinking. It's more of a stimulus. Like, I see movement. I'm going towards movement. Like, like moths towards a flame. Like, you have the kill zones. Prisons have the kill zones where, like, you're going to have several layers of protection. It's like, I think it's kind of the ultimate.
Yeah.
You know,
if you can get something like that, like a fortified, defensible position with 200 to 300 yards of open killing ground in every direction.
Yeah, as long as you're able to see what's coming at you, you shouldn't have a problem at all taking care of either running or shambling zombies.
And you got walls, fences, machine gun posts.
Yeah, and you've got watchtowers.
Yeah.
But to be, you know, honest, those prisons are supposed to keep things out, not keep things from coming in. So you're going to have to change around a few things.
Yeah.
You're going to have to make sure that you've got, like, those spots taken care of, like the entryway to a prison.
Yeah, you don't,
that
I mean, you don't have a whole lot
because
of
because a chain link fence, if... Now, the Zombie Survival Guide, I'm going back to this because it does bring up some good points, such as... Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you.
Maggie is
Maggie's the beer fairy.
Beer fairy. Tonight.
Booze fairy.
She's taking good care of us, and I really appreciate it. And I want to thank her again for letting us do this show here live, because we wanted to do... She loves me. That's so awesome.
Top chick.
I am. I was like, oh. Dude, I drunkenly asked her to marry me once. Watch. Didn't I ask you to marry me when I was drunk that one night? Didn't I say, you got to marry me?
I think that's only when we're 45,
right? Yeah, we're like older. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Was that the night of that I saw you the next day when you?
Oh, this
couldn't
is
even
the
move?
Night that I threw up in a cab.
You threw up in bed.
I lost my phone, and the next day I lost my job.
Yeah,
I had a bender. I threw down.
That was when your roommate had the little get together, and I saw you the next day. Y'all
That's
were,
right.
Y'all were actually
recording.
Yeah,
yeah,
you were a mess.
Yeah, I managed to record a show that night. I don't even remember which one.
We almost
one it
had
was.
An intervention.
Yeah, it was bad.
He tried to go out like Hendrix. He really did.
No, not yet. Yeah, our kids will be retarded. Oh, that's no good. She said I had a slipper of roofie. What'd you see this package, babe?
Too bad you ain't a big girl. I'll slip you a ho-ho.
Wow, we went off topic in a way we've never gone before.
I actually didn't participate in any of that.
Yeah, we always go off topic. And for anybody who listens to this show on a regular basis knows we go off topic. But, man.
That bring it back. Dave. Hmm. Dave's been quiet.
Yeah. Well,
Dave's been awfully
I've been
quiet.
Running my dick sucker, so Dave, go ahead.
Dave's always quiet. That's why I was like, hey, Silent Dave's on the mic.
But I totally think the Walmart is the way to go. I really do. Like what you're saying, it needs to be a secure environment. They're all concrete and brick.
Yeah, as long as the roof is flat and you're able to, like, put down some soil, you should be able to grow whatever food you need.
Anyone that's ever been to Walmart knows there's only, like, two, maybe three entrances. That's it. You got all the gardening supplies.
That's right.
You got food. You got weapons. You know.
Yeah, the big box stores do make a good place. Like, Home Depot wouldn't be any good because pretty soon you're going to run out of the machine food upstairs in the break room.
I mean, and once you've thrown all the shovels and heavy stuff at people, that's it.
Plus, at Walmart, you do have the future survival stuff where if you had to leave the Walmart, you have all the necessities to take with you. Like, you have all the camping gear stuff, all the things you would need to leave Walmart. Like,
you could load up and head on.
I think the redneck question could be a benefit. I mean, you got a bunch of people who know how to shoot shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they know how to, you know, kill things on a regular basis, you know.
I'm really close to James right now.
Yes.
Anyone that goes to, like firing ranges at any regular basis knows,
I'm there at least once a month, yeah.
You know, 9 times out of 10, you got, you know, a bunch of, you know, rednecks out there, you know, sighting in their rifles. They can shoot and kill anything.
You got to shoot them in the head.
And
they're twitching. See that one over there? He's twitching.
Sure.
You know, and
those guys, they're
effective. So
they're self-sufficient.
But the one next to most rednecks don't like to shoot their kill in the head because they want to mount something.
I'm not like a militaristic person.
They go, I ain't shooting nothing, I ain't eating.
I don't wake up at 5:30 in the morning and I don't like do PT for an hour and a half before I do anything else. And I do not want...
Because you're weak?
Pretty much. I do not want to wind up with a bunch of people that are like, you know, I'm glad I'm not in Minnesota when the zombie apocalypse happens. Because, like,
I'm not in Minnesota right now.
Sure. I mean, like, but I do not want to be in a position where I have a bunch of guys that want to be military. Basically, I don't want to live at Tom Clancy's house. When the zombie apocalypse.
You know, all the guys like, oh, yeah, now's my chance to shine.
Sure.
The zombie apocalypse.
I'm going to put on my fatigue.
Yeah, the guys that are just looking for a chance to put on all their tack gear. And
oh, my God.
Well, the thing about it, chances are those guys are going to be dead.
No, I've already decided. I want to be one of the motorcycle marauders. I basically want to ride around with my shotgun and my baseball bat.
The lone biker of the apocalypse?
That's lone biker of the apocalypse. With friends, you know, and lone biker of the apocalypse and friends, you know, and ride
that's
around.
That's like a TV show.
Sure.
That's like a children's
and
show.
And I get to wear my Wehrmacht helmet.
Lone biker of the apocalypse.
And ride my motorcycle around and take out zombies and get my civil defense food from the mall, like in Dawn of the Dead.
And there's a lesson at the end of every episode.
Why was there a whole bunch of civil defense?
And now you know.
In the
and knowing is half the battle.
Dojo.
So as long as there's a lesson at the end of every day.
That's right.
What did we learn today? Well, we learned that you have to take responsibility for your actions.
We are going for the marathon 2-hour episode.
We're going until the government cuts power.
That's right.
So. They got the goddamn power, man.
So I think that, like, back on topic, I think that the Walmart is the best idea, like, ideally as in close, because a prison is not be close. Like,
a prison
ideally,
is
if gonna I could
be
make
difficult
it, the prison
to
would
get
be great.
To if yeah. it's yeah. because prisons are not often built where people have easy
well,
access.
No, I mean, I think the point is that you should be proactive. You should have the shit you need at home.
Yeah.
Fuck Walmart. You should buy all the shit ahead of time.
Well, you're going to need to get
just
into a defensible position, and you're not going to have...
You should just...
Well, I don't know about you, but I go out and buy groceries. It's not for months at a time.
It's so I don't have like eat a lot.
I don't have like 80 cans of Ensure or anything. You know?
I don't either. But I got a big freaking bag of Clif Bars, dude. I
as much as I would like to stay at home and be defensible... I'm so white trash. I live in a trailer, so like, I live in the worst possible place for zombies.
No. Sean right told me the story earlier, but Sean needs to go on record.
I have the
with
redneck
this.
Trifecta. I am unemployed, dating a stripper, living in a trailer, and it's fucking great, and I'm so happy.
Yeah, that's like the American dream with gravy
oh,
on top.
Yeah.
See, thank you, because I have people look down at me. I'm like, what? You're jealous? Fuck
yeah.
You.
Yeah. Come on, I want every other state in the union to come out there and tell us that they have a similar situation. You can't come up with a single one. And all of our listeners in Portland, you got nothing on us, man. We got guys living in trailers with strippers, taking care of them. Oh. Come up with something like that, and I'll move there.
And I'll even nerd it up a little. She pays for my comic books. How about that?
Oh, my man.
God.
Oh. I have the best girlfriend ever.
Oh, Sean's got stories, man. I tell you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was harsh. Harshiosity.
Oh.
I'm living the American dream, boys.
That's
I was,
right.
I so thought I was going to win Powerball the other night just because that would be poetic.
Sure.
It would be absolutely poetic if I won Powerball.
Well, then.
It was
did
an Oregon.
Somebody
it was an Oregon. It was an Oregon. Someone in Oregon won Powerball.
You know, if a listener happens to have won the Powerball, and we're your favorite show.
A donation would be nice.
Yeah, well, come and let us live in your
to
compound.
To the Destructomundo College Fund.
That's right. Support
helping
the Destructomundo College Fund by for our yes. camp. Yeah.
Helping low-income children learn the skills to survive the apocalypse.
Yes.
We can send them to Destructomundo camp. Oh, God, I'd be the best instructor ever.
Wake up in the morning, PT, for an hour and a half.
Let me give you a chance to wear a campaign hat.
Sure.
Finally, I can yell. I will PT you until you fucking die.
That's the best part of that movie. Because, I mean, like the whole, I'll tear off your head and shit down your neck. You know that's not going to happen.
Yeah. My favorite line.
You could have to do enough sit-ups to
that's my favorite line
throw
up. I will
die.
PT you until you fucking die.
Do you know what I know about PT? The drinks are too expensive.
We're talking about a strip club in town named PT. Why would a military person want to go to a club called PT's?
I don't know. Push-ups and boobies? I don't know.
Traditionally, military people love strip clubs.
I can do mountain climbers and watch boobies. I don't know.
Well, yeah. If you
live on barracks and don't have to pay rent, all that money is for strippers.
Well, no,
believe
because
me,
if I didn't have to pay rent,
all my money would go to strippers.
If you have to shave your head and live with men for that long, I want a strip club.
Yes.
I want a strip club right
now.
Well,
don't name it after something that you don't like. That just doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
So, yeah, PT Showgirls Club is...
We're wildly off topic.
Don't we do it every episode?
But we're like in a whole different range
so,
of off
topic. So getting back to it, now, Rob made a point earlier. Actually, Dave, do you mind handing...
Sure,
I'm going to have Rob take this. Rob made a good point about, like, the defensible positions of... cemeteries, if indeed.
Well, not really defensible, but just they have insufficient containment.
Just something
systems.
To think about. Well, if you notice the cemeteries, at least the ones here, they have the high chain link fences with the razor wire. They have concertina wire on top.
Yeah.
And it's angled inwards.
On some of the cemeteries in the
not
area.
To keep you out.
Not to keep not to keep me out, but to keep
them in. Exactly.
Which I like.
They've got
like
the 8 to 10 foot tall chain link fences with an extra 2 to 3 feet of concertina wire. Angled inwards.
Which gives you a little hope for the world.
Yeah, that
gives you a little bit of hope.
But so many of them have.
Which is not to keep me from getting in there and doing druid rituals in the middle of the night.
Hey, you know, I won't even go there, man, you know.
Because trust me, I can get in there and do druid rituals.
Well, nobody knows who they were or what they were doing.
But it's angled inwards, which makes it nearly impossible or at least extremely
they're
going to
get awful
cutty.
Cut up if they try to get over that fence.
It's not necessarily impossible, but it's
entangle.
Very, very cutty to try to get out over the fence that's angled inwards. But you could actually sort of go up and roll over it to get into the
cemetery. I remember last year we had a storm in our area. Now, I may end up like putting up an image of the spot where a lot of, Ted, Derek, and myself live in Louisville, Kentucky. That is surrounded by 5 cemeteries. We have 5 yes. cemeteries in a 1 mile vicinity of where we live.
Yes.
And if the shit comes down...
And the city morgue.
Yeah, and the city morgue is
you're
on
fucked.
The street I live on.
You're fucked.
We're basically screwed like nobody else. So this is a very important topic to us.
A lot
and one of those cemeteries is fucking huge.
Yeah, and there's one that's dilapidated and has no fence at all, practically. And anybody can come in and out of there
Which
as much as they want.
Oh, I know.
What, we're talking about, one of the columns coming out of the ground?
By the crematorium.
If that's Eastern Cemetery, Eastern Cemetery has some freaky shit in it. Eastern
they have
Cemetery
sinkholes,
has a witch
man,
grave.
That go right down into graves.
It's,
really?
It's a grave that says, it's got a pentagram
Ada.
On it that says, I will live again.
And it has a pentagram.
Oh, it's by the old,
it's Ada.
The old,
it's behind the crematorium.
Her first name is Ada.
Right there.
It's right behind
around.
The
I don't
actual
know exactly
crematorium
that's
itself.
Take a picture
it's like an open
put it
like,
up
it's like
on
an
the
open
website.
Book.
Yeah,
like,
I'll
flat.
Do that.
Yeah.
And
that is creepy
the
as hell.
Plot right next to hers is sunken in like a sinkhole. I had a friend of mine that fell down
into
it.
Yeah, it's a freaky cemetery.
He freaked out, man.
It's
and we all kind of freaked out when he just sank.
My house.
Like something grabbed him and pulled him down.
I got the morgue and that cemetery between my house.
And they filmed Elizabethtown there, part of it.
Yeah.
How nice.
Well, they
well,
filmed,
that, Cave
they filmed part the movie of Elizabethtown in Cayville Cemetery.
Cayville, which is like...
Because,
which last year we had
Ted's
a problem.
Wife, Jen
and I storm came
and
knocked and the fence down.
Tried to check and see if we could find Kirsten Dunst. Because I got the hots for
her. I was right behind her
in a cemetery.
In
that's,
Honey
that's
Brothers.
Yeah, but you didn't even know who she was.
No, but she had great legs, man.
I bet she did.
I tell you what. Because I came out and everybody was like, do you realize who that was? And I was like, no, really? But she had great legs. And then they told me. I was like, all right, cool.
That is so punk rock.
And then my brother's wife started freaking out and, like, giving me the third-degree question to me all that. I'm like,
well,
I don't know.
We,
I was standing behind her. I don't
and,
have a clue. I can't tell you what she ordered. I don't know.
She was at a coffee
But I think
shop,
Cobble's
right?
Young lady's going to leave him.
That's fine.
Now there's booze and good conversation.
Yeah.
Well, you know, back to the zombies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when we're talking about shambling and or running zombies,
yes.
we've still come up with the basic scenario of you need to have...
Guard towers and cemeteries.
Defensible, yes, a defensible position.
Spotlights,
which means minimal numbers of windows.
Machine gun emplacements.
Yes.
Minimal numbers of doors to cover. Obviously, you want more than one door.
Or at least a material to cover up
one door. One door is easy because there's only one door to watch, but one way in equals one way out, so it's easy to get trapped. So you want at least two exit ways.
And an M79 strapped to your chest.
Well, I'm not a member of STARS, so I'm not going to be going into...
Or the Detla.
Yeah.
Detla Force. Or Megaforce, for that matter.
Or Megaforce. And going into a mansion that's full of zombies. But I can tell you this much. Like, if I find the herb on the floor, then I got to mix it with the other herb. Make, you know, the stuff that keeps me, you know, then the health spray.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be great to have, but
have
I don't think I'm going to have time for
machete?
That sort of thing.
I'm not going to be mixing
and
herbs.
I'm going to stay away from the dogs with no skin on them and stuff like
and
that.
That is another bonus of that the Walmart or the prison has over the mall is, like, infirmary or, like, the whole, like, pharmacy area.
Yeah.
You have all the, like, not just, like, painkillers, but you have bandages and, like,
Walmart's
antiseptic
got a good first
sprays.
Aid section, yeah.
Like, I mean, both of the, like, the prison will have the infirmary, but, like, the Walmart will have fucking everything.
Yeah.
Toilet paper.
Too bad clergy can't, like, bless your machete, like, +3 against zombie attack.
Well, they could, potentially.
Oh,
it's a question of finding finding
+3
zombie. Finding the right kind of...
undead.
It's a question of finding the right kind of priest and going, I have this machete. Could
Where
you,
do you know
you
a cleric?
Possibly
do you know many clerics around town?
Oh, we're getting it on. No, we can't do this.
Now we're
going to
get a real D&D moment.
Hey, they were undead in D&D.
No, because he's a cleric and go, I can't
Back
use
in the day,
weapons.
Medieval times, they had undead.
Oh, that's right. We've forgotten one of the greatest undead movies ever made.
What's that?
Army of Darkness.
Yeah, wow, spectacular.
You see, for if any reason that you shouldn't remember the words, Batu,
Rada, Nictu.
Yes.
Then you're going to let loose the armies of the undead, which could be a problem. Especially if you know you don't have enough ammo for your boomstick.
Yeah.
Boomstick is very important.
Or a chainsaw for your arm.
Right.
Or a chainsaw.
But I mean, honestly, if you're Ash, you're in a serious situation to take care of the undead. A serious situation. So you don't have to worry so much about there being like a...
He's a proactive thinker. I mean, he's a guy that's, you know, taking charge and getting the job done. He's not sitting around complaining.
No. And he's not feeling sorry for himself that the shit's come down.
Or that he had to cut his hand off.
No. Because he took advantage of the situation.
He made do.
Put a chainsaw on it.
That's making do.
Like, man, that is seriously.
That's a whole lot of making do.
And that's the kind of, that's the attitude. That's the attitude that'll get
you through. If
you
have a chainsaw prosthetic and you're able to get one, get one.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter if anything's happening right here and now.
Why should I
have
a flamethrower? There's no reason to not.
That's the attitude that'll get you through it.
Sure.
Probably can't get on a plane with something like that.
Well, if it's your hand.
No, but you can get on a bus.
Yeah, what, are they going to discriminate against you? I mean,
you
come
on.
Get on
a bus with 8 pounds of crack and a disabled machine gun.
Get on a bus.
I can ride a bus with a
I can't take over a plane, but I can get on a Greyhound.
The
God
guy that was trying to light his shoes on fire
I can ride the bus with a big can of corn.
And, you can still bring matches.
And nobody will say anything.
Yeah, you can still bring matches on the plane. She's right about that. You just can't bring a lighter.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
But
really.
You can, you know, if you have some tin foil, you can make one of those match bombs. Boy, we are really off top.
Really off top. I mean, it's you know, it might help in the long run. You certainly shouldn't be getting on a plane when the zombies are.
Oh.
You shouldn't be trying to fly out.
Well, looking back at like the contagion, like okay, if you have like, you know, zombies rise from the grave and have to bite to spread it, or like what if, you know, that's one thing. But what if you look at like something hits the atmosphere that causes general zombification? Like, what about like pilots getting zombified while they're flying a plane, or people like driving cars
or
when they're like zombified. You're going at the whole left behind bullshit scenario.
Well,
but like
the general wisdom states that like a zombie can't do anything but walk at you and moan.
Well, would zombies go after just like smaller, lesser animals because of the warmth? Like you were saying, be it warmth
or movement factor? They seem to not, popular media suggests that they're not interested in anything other than people.
It's kind of like motion sensors. Like you have to be over a certain size to get a zombie's radar going. Or
you have to basically be human and alive for a zombie to.
Yeah, they don't seem
kinda
interested
like
in
anything
else. They don't want to eat puppies.
No.
which, you know, you'd think they would.
Because in the remake of Dawn of the Dead, they let the dog loose.
They let the dog go.
He runs over.
Would Vietnamese zombies eat puppies?
Nope. No, but South Korean ones would.
I think you've done two or three offensives.
No, that's just harsh. Korean people don't actually eat dogs
anymore.
No, that was a myth. Lately. I'm sure perpetuated by the Japanese.
You're gonna drive away. We have an actual Japanese listening.
No,
community.
I'm just kidding. I like everybody,
and we love them, and we've explained how much we love them before. But yeah.
Well, I mean, their greatest band fights zombies. So.
Yes, Wild Zero, the greatest Astro Zombie movie.
Yes.
Of them all, starring the great, great Guitar Wolf.
Who,
Guitar Wolf. Oh.
Farewell, Billy. Farewell,
Guitar
Billy.
Guitar Wolf.
That totally rocks out against the zombies.
Yeah. God love Guitar
Wolf. A lot
Guitar
of head
Wolf.
Exploding in that movie. You know, you shoot a guy in the
Man,
head
maybe,
in that,
maybe
and their
Billy
head
didn't
explodes.
Go by heart attack.
It's no, like, shot in the head and dot in the forehead. Boom. You know, their head explodes.
There's a great deal of exploding.
That's something that bugs me. Like, yeah, take the head, take the zombie out. But, like, I hate when in any movie or any zombie thing going on when they nick a zombie in the skull and suddenly it's down. Like, the zombie's running on, like, 8% capacity anyway.
Sure.
And he gets a slight head wound and all of a sudden he's dead. Fuck that. You got to take the brain out or take the head off. Like, I hate when they just, oh, look, he gets a small concussion and he's dead. Fuck that. This
well,
doesn't work
okay,
like that.
Okay. Rob,
I took him out
mind,
with my hangnail.
Let me have that microphone for a second. I'm just going to give it to Rachel here. I promised Rachel could defend the Return of the Living Dead scenarios with the brain-eating zombies. And actually put in perspective what kind of situation we would be in, seeing as that Return of the Living Dead actually took place in Louisville, Kentucky in the movie.
Yes.
In Caveville.
In our cemetery of choice here, in where Colonel Sanders is buried, no less. And I promised her I'd give her a
finger
chance.
Looking
finger looking
good.
Finger looking dead.
Finger looking good.
Finger looking dead.
Finger looking dead.
He's finger licking dead.
Bok,
so
bok,
yeah,
dead.
I mean, what now with the brain eating zombies? What? I mean, like, what causes the zombie to? What do you think would cause the zombies to want to devour the brain of a person?
Am I correct that nobody here is real familiar with that movie?
I've
or?
Seen it.
Okay.
But I don't know it.
I'm pretty familiar with it.
Well,
Ted, are you?
I don't know what caused it, but the zombies in Return of the Living Dead, they experienced pain, and it was alleviated by eating brains. And I don't know why.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I forgot about the
like. It was actually
pain.
Very painful
it
for them
to be a zombie.
To be dead. And the only thing that would alleviate the pain was eating brains.
That's right.
And what was kind of interesting about
brains,
the zombies in that movie is that they talked, and they were still conscious of their lives as human beings, kind of.
Many of the Japanese zombie movies, they're much more intelligent and capable and sophisticated than the traditional Romero and Fulci zombies.
Like, well, because two of the main characters in Return were... they didn't even realize that they were zombies until the paramedics showed up, and they were like, well, you have no pulse, and your room temperature, and you're essentially dead, and we don't know what's going on. And then they start, you know, craving brain and turning on their friends. And
which was it was one of the sequels where there was like a truck where the people were throwing out brains to the zombies, like to like bait them.
I don't remember. I'm not really familiar with those.
Yeah, there was
movies as much as I am the Romero.
Rob, you know that one?
The
there's 9, 10, 12, 15 of those. I don't know.
There was one of the sequels where there was like a truck and these people were like throwing out brains, and then I don't know if there was something like in them or like where they were like kind of just get them grouped together so they could kill them. They were throwing out brains out of the back of a truck. It was one of the sequels. I mean, it was obviously a not good one, but
one of the returns.
See, I wouldn't think zombies would be too interested in just raw brains, you know, like
Yeah. I never went into, like,
probably
if it had to be,
live,
like, a
fresh brains would...
I never went into, like, if it had to be, like, an attached-to-the-nervous-system brain,
Gary's,
or if it could just be, like, a brain out on the street, like, I don't know.
Or MrQuick.net, excuse me. And he has been so kind as to promote our show in the past to our local brethren, and we would like to plug his site.
MrQuick.net is great. MrQuick.net is a great, great,
absolutely.
Great place.
If you want to see how people can get riled up, come to that.
Certainly.
But yes, okay.
But in that movie also, there was essentially no way to destroy the zombies. Like, they chopped them up into little pieces, and all the pieces...
Yeah, they have one on the table that's, like, cut up into pieces.
They were
they're still
moving around. I mean, obviously it wasn't as dangerous, but it... And then...
Kind of like the Dead Alive scenario, where they're just, like, they're chopping them into, like, small bits, and the,
see,
like, the hands are still
there. We've
coming.
Gotten into a subgenre of zombie movies
where
it's,
the
like...
the monkey bite.
Yeah.
The monkey bite genre. Mm. Yeah. Which is a silly movie, but was still kind of fun.
Sure. I mean, it's got its, you know... It's a zombie movie. We have to consider it. Yeah. And it definitely gives us the possibility for an end time.
It also makes you think about, like, what's keeping these zombies going. Like, not, like, technically what, but, like, to what point can they still function?
Well, I mean, that's let loose in Fulci. I mean, Fulci had zombies coming out of the ground that apparently had been dead for quite some time.
Yeah.
Centuries.
Yes.
Yeah.
To where all they had to have was a minimal amount of flesh in order to live.
Yeah, something to, like, keep the bones, like...
If anything we've learned here is that if they're dead, kill them.
Re-kill them. They've been killed once, and they're still walking around. Re-kill them.
I'm with you on the blunt object thing, too.
Yeah.
I'm totally down with the blunt object. Like,
because you don't want to, like...
Yeah. Don't puncture, like, destroy.
You want to crush the freaking
head.
You want to crush the fucking skull,
you
smash the brain
into... You
need
to give them a wound to the head that would kill a normal human.
You don't want to puncture it. You don't want to slice it. You want to crush it.
Because basically, if the brain is what's keeping them going, there's still synapses firing, and you need to end those synapses firing. So you need to, like, you can't just, like, put a hole through it, because that might not end it. You need to, like,
if the head is dead,
end,
the zombie's dead. That's
so
what we've learned.
When you realize the zombies are on the rampage, find something. Find some sort of weapon. Like I said, crowbar, bat, shovel, axe, something.
You want something that you can swing. If you feel comfortable swinging at something.
Anything's better. You know, even a good fucking stick is better.
You know, the whole time I keep looking around the bar like, man, what would I... What is there in this bar that you can...
There's an ore right there. The ore is good.
Yeah.
The ore is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have the flashlight, the mag light. It's good. We have a football helmet somewhere around here. Matt's old football helmet.
Yeah, I mean, you do want to have
one of those fish.
You want to have something to be able to take care of a zombie with, weapon wise.
Yeah, I guess liquor bottles.
Yeah,
a leather jacket.
You might get
something
you somewhere
to cover up like the neck.
When
you
a good old fashioned Jameson bottle upside the head would probably not be bad.
Really get into it. You start
that's right.
To
a good bottle upside
stuff.
The head take care of a lot of problems. And
it won't damage. It'll at least stun them.
Well, we don't know if a zombie can be knocked out or not. I mean, I've never seen a zombie knocked out.
Pool sticks in the back.
Yeah,
pool sticks. We do have pool sticks.
Pool
in
sticks
here.
Would be good. Or
and
pool
we've
bat.
Seen pool sticks work in Shaun of the Dead. So, at least
and in this bar.
That's right. This bar is notorious for pool stick fights.
Pool stick fights.
It's the Magnolia Bar in Louisville, Kentucky. A fine establishment.
Come on out
been
and tip
so
well.
Kind. That's right. Has been so kind. To let us shoot this show here live tonight for our zombie apocalypse episode. And we'd like to thank again Maggie, our bartender, who has been our beer fairy tonight and taking
Maggie's
very good care of us.
Wonderful human being.
Big round of thanks to Maggie. And from all of us to all of you, we hope the zombie apocalypse goes
that was a feel
good
moment.
And swell.
From all of us to all of you.
Very
that's like Christmas blessing.
It's like a Hallmark card.
Woo. Hallmark zombie card.
That was one of those Rudolph's Shiny New Year moments or something.
So, from James.
Oh, do I get to say my name now?
Yes.
Rachel.
And me.
And Sean.
Ted's gone. Ted had to leave.
Ted has a job.
He has an early day.
Yeah, Ted had an early morning, but.
This has been Destructo Mundo, and good night.